We're going to lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline because it's time to talk about a bunch of stuff. It's a full time a year. He's the editor-in-chief of GoDucks.com. Check out the website and keep up with all he covers for U of O sports. Follow on Twitter for you football fans. It's at Duck Football. All the other sports, try at GoDucks Mosley. Rob Mosley checks in. Rob, how's life treating you these days?
Not so bad. How are you?
Great. So you're in Vegas for the women's tournament, but yeah. I saw Mario Cristobal and the football team started practice on Saturday. So
it hurt me.
Apparently, I was wrong. I didn't know they were allowed to play games or hold practices against you. Were there to document it all. When did you lose control?
Yeah, we're going to have a meeting, and you know, I'll write a harshly worded letter to the authorities or something. Now, that was a little bit frustrating to know that football was getting to work, and the first practice of all practices. I had worked out my travel to Las Vegas thinking the first practice was going to be Thursday, and so I could kind of do both, and they moved it back after Andy Avalos was hired just to give him a little extra time to implement the defense, which made complete sense, but it meant that my travel plans no longer made sense. It also meant that I could have gone down to Vegas with the women's basketball team last Wednesday, in which case I would have been there in time for a Golden Knights game, which didn't happen. So really, nothing went according to plan, at least as far as I was concerned last week.
It's all coming unraveled. Your once life of controlling things and dictating policy. You had a good run, though. So that tournament you were at, the UCLA game Saturday to overtime, I think there were some sluggish moments yesterday in the Stanford loss. And I get great coaches, great players. There's no excuses. But, you know, Ruthie Hebert's not fully healed. She had to play three games in a row, no Taylor Chavez. You know, it's safe to say that they're not playing with a full deck yet. Yeah, they still almost won the thing.
No doubt. You know, I think it did look like there were some tired legs, particularly on some of the three-point shots, which surprised me because they were really locked in the shoot-around that morning. And in pregame, Tatu Sabli and Aaron Boley couldn't miss. And then once the game started, it was a different story. And so, you know, you also got to give credit to the opponent. I think Stanford did a great job shutting down the pick-and-roll stuff. That was really a heavy emphasis for Oregon's offense in any game, but particularly in that matchup, you know, I think they really wanted to try to work the pick-and-roll. The stuff that Hebert wasn't there, so you saw a lot of instances of Ionescu pulling up and putting up short little jump shots rather than being able to dump it off down to Hebert for a layup. And then they had a couple really athletic guards. They were able to get out into Oregon shooters and cause them some problems. I think we saw, too, over the course of the three games down there, kind of some postseason officiating, a little bit more letting them play. It was really physical and tough and maybe kind of a different style than the Ducks got used to during the regular season. And they got to adjust their mentality a little bit, too, because, you know, you don't expect that to change now as you enter the NCAA tournament. I think teams now saw that Arizona and UCLA got really physical with the Ducks and had a little bit of success, gave themselves a chance, so you can probably figure on a little bit more of that now going further into the postseason.
Yeah, you know, UCLA, fast and athletic. Stanford, let's not, you know, it was almost like their way of saying, you know, we're not giving up control of the conference just yet.
Right. We're still Stanford.
Yeah. And obviously, this Oregon team has so many multiple outstanding aspects. But teams, so you said maybe a little more physical, maybe a little more athletic, they kind of present them with some issues because it's not a total weakness, but it's not what makes Oregon a Final Four contender.
Right. This team has a ton of skill between players like Cazorla and Ionescu and Boley. You know, Sobley's obviously a heck of an athlete and a real matchup problem given her size, but, you know, she's still refining some things. She's still a relatively young player. It's not a bunch of freakishly athletic players out there. It is mostly a team that's about execution and running things offensively and defensively that Kelly Graves draws up. So, to your point, you know, when a team gets really athletic and gets into them and tries to bully them a little bit, you know, that's different, and that doesn't play to their strength. So I think, you know, I think this week off is going to be really good to them. Kind of, you know, as you mentioned earlier, they're pretty thin, so they get a week off now before Selection Monday, a week from today, where they're not going to practice much. You know, they can just sort of rest up, focus on getting ready for finals next week. But also kind of clear their heads a little bit. You know, they've been really grinding through this season, and now you get a chance to kind of exhale a little bit, take a couple days, maybe get away from it a little bit, and then come back fully focused next week.
Talking with Rob Mosley of GoDucks.com. So while we don't know, I'm going to assume there's going to be two games at Matt Knight Arena. Then they head to Portland. So while losing the final yesterday's may be disappointing, is it safe to say, as a two seed, they could have ended up that way anyway. It really wasn't costly, and they're still going to get a pretty favorable draw.
Yeah, I think if they do get sent to Portland, you kind of say no harm, no foul. You'd rather be the number one seed rather than the number two seed. But as long as you're going to Portland, you got what you wanted. I don't think that's a slam dunk. Stanford's 4 in the RPI, Oregon's 5. So Stanford just won that game. So Stanford's got a pretty good case for wanting to stay on the West Coast too. But then you just look at Oregon and the 40-point win in the regular season and winning the regular season title and all that. I mean, that body of work is really impressive as well. So, I think there's cautious optimism. You're staying in the state of Oregon for the first two weekends, and that's a path that you can take advantage of. Not that there's any gimmies in the first or second weekend, but you like how that sets up. But again, until that bracket comes out Monday, I'm kind of holding my breath a little bit. Stanford's got a pretty nice body of work too, and kind of the way that game went, there were moments of that game where if you're on the selection committee and you only tuned in here or there, you might say, wow, Stanford was putting it on them. Maybe they're more worthy.
Interesting. Now you ruined my whole day. Thank you very much, Rob. No. You've been covering Oregon sports from when you were at the school paper. I mean, and I was just thinking back, the Harrington football teams, the Lukes with Coach Kent and Freddie Jones, maybe some recent teams qualify, but this particular women's team, and obviously winning big helps the fans.
Right.
How high up the list you think they are as, how they've really captured the hearts of the community and Duck fans in general?
Oh yeah, really? Yeah, I mean, off the charts. I mean, yeah, it's hard to make a comparison. I think there is still kind of a different, people watch, I think, still men's sports and women's sports a little bit differently. With men's sports, it's just a little more cutthroat,
Sure.
and so people don't want to identify as much with those guys as people. They just want to see them win. Whereas with women's sports, there's more of a willingness to say, hey, yeah, we want to see them win, but also, we love to see them having fun, and we love to see their personalities, and isn't that a cool element of the game as well? And it's just, this group gives you so much to celebrate between, Sabrina is such an amazing ambassador. I mean, she handles herself in interviews so well. If you saw that funny little exchange she had with KG in the post-game interview or late last week about Obama coming to the game, whatever, I mean, the dynamic between them is so great, and she's entertaining and she offers enlightening things in media, but she never says the wrong thing or gets herself in trouble that way. Just the joy they play with, the fun Kelly Graves wants them to have, and kind of opens the doors and allow people to see that, is really special and really fun. I think there's a similar dynamic, honestly, with Matt Ulmer and the volleyball team right now. But obviously, the spotlight on basketball is just a little higher by the nature of the game. But both of those teams are really, really fun to be around.
Yep, like you said, joy of the game.
Yep.
Let's get to some football, talking with Rob Mosley, GoDucks.com. I was actually talking with Jerry Allen Friday about Mario Cristobal, and while we both agreed, like, how could you not, he'll be evaluated by the success on the field. I don't know if it's how he engages on social media, the way he appreciates the media covering his team. He himself, focused, smart, relatable. Does it make sense to think he's got a lot of the qualities to built to succeed in the game as it is now, 2019?
Is Coach Cristobal you're talking about?
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, particularly with the social media stuff and using, I think a lot of staff use that now to contact recruits and to be in touch with recruits, but the way he used it too to just promote the other teams around the department, I think really endears himself to this community. He's an Oregon guy. He's here. He's passionate about the department wide. He's not just in a bunker coaching football and, almost like a mercenary mentality. It's nothing right. Like that. I mean, I think this market's so unique because of the continuity that it had on the football staff for decades and decades, that people are used to a coach who's fully bought in, with with this community and this department and this program, and not just, hey, can we get 3-4 good years out of this guy, and then he's probably going to move on, and then we'll need somebody else. You know, some other places, that's kind of the norm. That's not what people want here. People want to know somebody's bought in. And, I mean, hey, is he going to have opportunities for other jobs in his career? I mean, heck, we hope he wins enough that he does. But right now, I think, yeah, he's definitely doing all the right things to really get everybody on his side. As you say, winning games is the ultimate decider. And the good news there is, too, with all the returning talent, particularly on offense, there's a lot of potential for this 2019 football team.
You know, I know your engagement's been limited. Folks, though, I hear from about the five-star, Kayvon Thibodeau. And again, yeah, his play will determine his value. But he seems like a young guy, great sense of humor, beyond what his role might be. You get a sense he's one of those kind of big-time five-stars who, even with expectations, he seems kind of comfortable in his own skin and welcomes the expectations.
For sure, and he's another guy like Sabrina Ionescu, like I say, who just seems to be representing us so well. And he's early in his career, but you know, showing it up at other sports, cheering them on, sitting in the pit crew. You know, the way he had a tweet the other day after the first practice about, you know, he hopes the offensive line beats him up every practice because it's only going to make him better. Was great, you know, and what I respect about him too is, I mean, he's a guy people gravitate to. And so him being such a positive influence is huge for a team's culture, because sometimes you have people who guys gravitate to but aren't the most positive influence, and they can kind of drag people down with them. He's a guy who can lift people up with him. You know, I look at a guy, you know, Brian Addison, who was a true freshman receiver last year, ended up redshirting. Ton of potential, I think, was kind of trying to find his way. He's kind of a late arrival here last year. I think him and Kayvon have really hit it off, and that's a guy who, again, you know, now suddenly he seems to have this focus. And I wasn't at Saturday's practice, but I know a lot of people thought Addison looked really good, and he sure looks good today, too. So to have a guy who's like a positive influence on other players like that is huge. And so, yeah, it's obviously really, really early, but you're really like the total package from Thibodeau right now.
A couple final thoughts for Rob Mosley. You know, I'll be honest, until 10 days ago, I didn't know who Andy Avalos was. Now he's a defensive coordinator. I mean, you all got a chance to meet him, hear what he's got to say. Then, like everybody else, of course, you go back and see what his resume looks like. So what are your first impressions and maybe the style of defense Duck fans should look forward to?
Well, I mean, the first impression is, I mean, he's really comfortable in his own skin. I mean, he's a younger guy, but he really has a commanding presence. You know, he's not, at least today, you know, it's not like he was a yeller and a screamer. He didn't have that persona out on the practice field, but just the charisma he has, you know, the eye contact he makes with guys. I mean, you can see how he's able to connect with players that way and really command attention, all that. Yeah, schematically, we'll see. I think he's trying to walk a fine line right now between saying, hey, we're going to do some different things, kind of what I like to do. But also, you know, you don't want to overwhelm the guys with an entirely new system. There's going to be some new verbiage, which is kind of the case every year, even if you're in the same defense. You want to change up what you call some things just so to keep teams off balance. But, yeah, I'm going to be really interested with the way that they're talking both ways. Like, yeah, there's going to be some commonalities, but also there's going to be some new stuff. I'm really interested to see by the end of this spring or come fall just how different or not things really look defensively.
So he hasn't put out a depth chart yet for game one against Auburn?
I have yet to see that.
All right, well, pass it along if you do. lastly, the men's basketball team.
Yeah.
I mean, now they're hot and on a roll. They've won 4 in a row. They knocked off the Huskies at Seattle. They're entering the tournament as a 6 seed. So I know this is strange to think, but in the conference this year, I mean, if you just put your fan hat on, is it, why not think, win 4 and get back to the tournament?
No, absolutely. I mean, it's just so wide open. You know, I think my concern this week will be the same that it's been for the last month or so. Just the way these guys have to play and just grind out games, you know, just the intensity they have to play with on the defensive end, you know, when you don't have Bobo on the offensive end and, you know, you're not going to put up 90 most nights and you're winning games 60-50. That's hard. That takes its toll. And you know, to not get that first round bye and to know you got to do that 4 times in 4 days rather than 3 times in 3 days. You know, we saw how hard it was for the women to win 3 in 3 days last week. You know, to do that 4 times in 4 days, you know, this men seems a little bit deeper, but not that much. And so I think the challenge is you know, you look at the way they're playing and say, yeah, you know, they have as good a chance as anybody in terms of the quality of team and the quality of basketball they're playing right now. But that factor that they're going to have to play four games and at the style that they do, that's really a big challenge. And if, you know, if they can even make it to the final, given all that, I think that, you know, they're going to have a really solid case to be at least a bubble team and say, hey, look how we're playing. Look at the way we finished the season. Yeah, you know, we took some lumps, and hopefully the committee would consider some things like, hey, you know, Kenny Wooten was out kind of mid-season. Bobo had just gone out when you're looking at the, you know, the UCLA, the Washington games that, you know, could have gone the other way at home early in the year and that now looks so critical. This team was going through a lot of transition right at that point. Luke King was kind of a late arrival, being a full guy into the rotation. Kind of once the roster stabilized over the last month or so, these guys have been playing really, really well, and so you hope something like that is taken into consideration. Of course, if you go one and done this week, none of that matters.
Right.
So, you know, you put together a nice 3-4 game run. You know, I'd like to think maybe they could at least play themselves into the conversation.
Yep. Hey, you got hope going in at this point after this season. I don't think you could ask for much more. Folks, he's Rob Mosley, editor-in-chief of GoDucks.com. Check out the website and keep up with all he does covering all sports, it seems like, for the U of O. Rob, I know you just got back to town. We really appreciate your time. Always a pleasure, my friend, and we'll catch up soon.
Yeah, anytime, Steve. It's always fun. Thanks, man.
All right, take it easy.